The White Network presents Saturday Afternoon with Carolyn. Your host, Carolyn Yeager.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad you can be with me on this Saturday afternoon, October 27th already. I'm Carolyn Yeager, coming to you via the White Network, and that is on the internet at thewhitenetwork.com. For the next 2 hours, I'll be with you, and I have a great guest today, one of my favorites, Vincent Renoir from France, and his lovely and very efficient partner, Marie. Hello, both of you.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello to the USA.
Yes. Thank you so much for being here. It's evening where you are, and I'll tell you, the weather here in South Texas has been kind of cold. Cold to me, coldish the last 2 days, so that's a big change, and cloudy. How is it where you are in France?
Oh, yes, it's cold and rainy and very, very cold now. We are, it will be winter very soon in France.
Yes, all right. Well, it's there's always a lot of rain, isn't there, in Europe. There's more rain than we get here. Well, anyway, let's get on with it because we have a lot to talk about. And I want to tell the listeners that we do have a call-in number now, and I do invite you to call in, but not during the first hour. Please, and do not call during the break either. We will have a break between the first and second hour, 5-minute break, but you can't call then either. It doesn't work. So you'll have to hold any calls that you might want to make for after the second hour gets going, and we'll see how that works out. Also, I have my email open, and you can also write in an email question or comment during the program if you'd prefer to do that. So that's for later. And the other thing is, another thing for later. So right now, excuse me for my throat problems here today. Happens a lot on Saturdays. Vincent, for those of you who don't know, most of you do, I know, probably everybody listening does, but know that Vincent Renoir is a French revisionist, Holocaust revisionist, and he has been doing this work for a long time, and he has suffered for it. He has had a lot of problems with the authorities, and he has dealt with courts and been in jail and all of the stuff that happens to the real serious ones who do the work and aren't trying to, you know, hide themselves. So, you know, I think a lot of Vincent, and he has turned to, he's also what you'd call a historical revisionist, and he has turned to videos in recent times, and he has a lot of videos. He has a YouTube channel, and well, I'll let them tell you about that, but he has come out with a video just recently on the homosexual marriage, and that's what I want to start out talking about today. Because it ties in, you know, Vincent, with the kind of work I've been doing lately, looking into the homosexual situation and all these new homosexual rights that are being really thrown down on us so fast that we hardly have time to understand what's going on. So, and I've been reading up on what's going on in France, and I'm more aware now that this is a big deal in France right now because of Hollande coming in as, what is he, president or something? And his promise is to make homosexual marriage legal, and that's supposed to be happening in 2013, next year. And they say it's a sure thing, but there is opposition. So, you know, I'm going to let you take it from here, you and Marie, and tell us all about that and about your video.
Yes, yes. I I made a video about that, and I didn't understand very well. You want me to speak about this video or
yes.
Uh-huh. Yes, but you know, yes, in France, Mr. Hollande, a socialist, is now president. Mm-hmm. And he promised to legalize marriage for homosexuals. But you know, in my video, I wanted to show that with or without Mr. Hollande, homosexual marriage will be legalized one day or another day. But it's only normal because it's a logical consequence of human rights, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Hollande is not important, and in my video I wanted to say to the French people, you know, even if you don't agree with Mr. Hollande, but if you agree with human rights, you will have marriage for homosexuals. It's a logical consequence, and you can't fight against it. That is my first message, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Yes, it's a principal message, and I try to explain in this video that I will tell it another way. A lot of person in France say, well, when you read human rights, you read about marriage, that it's a thing with a man and a woman. So, if you read human rights, you can't have homosexual marriage. It's impossible. But it's right. It's right, but only at the beginning. Because, okay, you say you can read that marriage, a man when he's 18, a woman when she's 14, and they can marry together, etc., etc. But in another way, the first or the second or the third article is there's no difference. Everybody is equal, so there's no difference between a man and a woman. First.
Now, when you're using the term human rights, in French, is this what you mean by when you would say in French, le droit de l'homme, the rights of man?
Which,
yes. Okay. And this was enshrined, was it not, in what followed from the French Revolution?
Yes.
Did it come from then, or was it previous to that?
When I am a French person, so when I speak about human rights, I think about French human rights in 1789, you know?
Okay, right.
But when you read human rights of the United Nations in 1948, it's the same. It's absolutely the same philosophy.
Okay.
So, if everybody is equal, why a man can't marry a man? It's the first problem. And if you say that everybody is equal, you have to legalize homosexual marriage. It's logical. And the a second way to think about that is today laws there's no natural order. there's no order given by God. Man is the center of the world, and he can have a life. He can have the life he wants, because there's no human nature. There's only your mind, what you want to be or what you don't want to be. The philosophy of human rights, it's that. Nowhere in human rights you can read the expression natural order or God's order. Nowhere you can read that. So there's no order. You have only your mind, what you want to be, what you don't want to be, and your desire. Yeah. There is only your desires, what you want. So with this philosophy, why can't a woman marry a woman? Or why can't a man marry a man? It's a great problem. And you can't forbid homosexual marriage with this philosophy. It's what I wanted to say in my video. At the beginning, a lot of persons say, well, I agree with human rights, you know, it's very, very good, but you can't go too far. But it's a mistake. If you agree with human rights, if you believe this philosophy, perhaps you don't want to go too far, but society they will go very, very far, very, very far, and so far that you don't want you to go, but society will go very, very far, because when you have an idea, you have logical consequences of this idea, you know. And
yes,
this is what's happening in France now. When we ask, for example, people over 65, are you agree with homosexual marriage? 44% say yes. Homosexual marriage? 44% say yes. But if you ask the same question to person under 22, you have 81% say yes, because you have ideas, a philosophy, and the young people go as far as they can go with these ideas and this philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes, I understand. That's interesting. And, of course, true. You know, the young people are ready for new things. And, of course, I am not at all ready for any of this. It makes sense. Let's not forget, if people want to right now go and take a look at that video of yours. And of course, it is in French. You know, there's no subtitles on it yet. Maybe there will be eventually, but it can be followed. But you might want to tell people where to go to see it. See your other videos.
If you want to see my videos, you can go on YouTube. In France, a lot of videos, my videos, are censored. You know, we can't see them then in France, mm-hmm. because it's they are forbidden. But in the USA, I think there's no problem. If you go to on YouTube and you type Sans Concession TV. I can put a message to say how it's Sans Concession TV, without concession TV. So Sans Concession TV in France, you can see all my videos. But if you want to, oh, I will send you a message. We'd like it. But if you want to,
yeah, I have that information. I just don't have it right in front of me. But I do. Let's see. I do have where. Okay, if I click on here in the announcement, I sit down. It's titled. Woo! Oh. Sorry about that, folks. I didn't think that was going to happen. Forgot the sound was on. It's titled "Pourquoi la légalisation du mariage homo est inévitable." Inévitable.
Yes, it's a French title. Yes. Why is the legalization of homosexual marriage is
inevitable? Yeah, inevitable maybe, but this is if they just Google in, they just Google San Concession TV, then they'll come up with these. They'll come up with your channel. So that's spelled S-A-N-S. And how do you spell the concessions? Concessions.
A concession. C. No. Oh, go on, Marie, please.
C O N C E double S I O N concession.
Okay, no S in there. Then TV.
Yes, TV. Then
yes,
TV.
Yes, yes. Starts with S A N S, and then C O N C E S S I O N TV.
Yeah.
All right. If people have any problem getting,
but you can go on my website too.
Yes. Also. Right.
hnm.org, and that I have all my videos.
Yeah. Say those letters again. Yeah. Of your website.
Yes, you can see my videos on my website www.phdmn.org.
phdmn.org.
NNM. PhDNM.
Yes, NM.
Yes,
like in new org. And men. PhDMN.org. Yes. Yeah, I have that. I better get this YouTube off of here, or I'll play it again.
The website is based on in America, in Detroit, you know.
It's banned. Your YouTube channel. I got to your YouTube channel.
Ah yes, you can have it. I see, and you have all the videos, perhaps 40. Or 30, I don't know. But in France, you know, with the censor chip, we have only 10 videos now, only.
You know, some people might be asking you, because I know people did want, wondered if there could be English subtitles added to your videos, just enough so that English-speaking people who really couldn't follow the French could you know, get maybe not every word for word, but enough to get the idea. And I know that you had someone working on that. Is there any progress made, or is there any hope for that coming up?
Yes. Perhaps we will have 3 or 4 videos with subtitles, but no more for the moment, because we need time, and it's very, very complicated. To have time.
Mm-hmm.
What, Marie?
Yes.
Just wanted to say that we don't have time because we have to produce to be able to survive. So we have to produce, and we work very hard, but we don't have time to make. We have the text in English, you know, but we don't find time to put the subtitles, because we are I don't know, overbooked.
What are you doing for money? What you said you needed to work to make some money.
We are working on Sans Concession, the review, the magazine.
Oh, and,
Yes.
Because we earn money with Sans Concession, and I earn money with private lessons, you know. And we have to work very, very hard for that. And it's for me it's a pity, because you know, today you must make videos if you want to make propaganda, you know.
If you want to reach people, yeah. If you want to reach the younger people.
For example, I made a video, and this video, for example, there were 2,000 viewers. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You but when you read an article in France, you have only 200 readers. So it's very, very, it's better making videos today, but we
don't earn money.
We don't earn money with that. And so it's very complex. And sometimes some person say to us, yes, I have put your video, I have translated your video, and there is, look at this, there is a text in English or in German. Okay, but
we are very thankful for people who are translating our texts, but we don't have time to put the subtitles for the moment.
I understand. Yes, exactly. And there you are, as so many of us, you know, doing everything yourself. There's no money to pay for, you know, all the help that these mainstream people get and so on. It's a lot of work. Well, this is a very good time to mention that donations should be sent to you if at all possible. And the email that people can use to contact you about how to send a donation, just to start with, is in Marie's name, which is Marie, M-A-R-I-E, dot Perrou, P, or I might not be pronouncing that right, P-E-R-E-R-O-U at gmx.fr. Is that right, Marie?
Yes, it's right. Thank you very much.
All right. And then, I can also post information on the program post about where people can just go ahead and send a donation without writing to you first. Right?
Yes, right.
That would be where?
They can just to make a donation. Yes, that's what
yes.
you.
Oh, this is for PayPal. This is they go to PayPal and use and use this email address rather than Vincent's email address. This is what they have to use now. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Right. Yeah, this is for PayPal. Now, if people don't have PayPal, I will post an address that you have an address that people can send, cash, which you can handle just fine, and or a money order, but not a check, right? You can't handle a check.
Not a check, no.
No. All right.
But the address is Urbain Kera. You have it?
Yes, I have it.
You have
the postal address. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
it's in Switzerland, right?
Yes, right.
Okay. Yeah. I'll post that. It's too hard to just read it out. People don't.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
You know, when you make researches in archives, for example, or in libraries, etc., you make a lot of discoveries, and we have a lot of things to do. Even today, some person says, "Oh, it's finished now. You have discovered all that you have to discover." But I say no. We have a lot of other things to discover, and we have to work very hard. For example, 2 days ago, I was in a very very large library in France. And it was in Paris, naturally. In France, all the large libraries are here. And I made a discovery. You know, in 1933, Adolf Hitler made the first, in France we say referendum. Do you say referendum in English?
Yes, referendum, yes.
He made a first referendum asking people, do you want us to work for 4 years? And after 4 years, you will say if you agree with us or not. And Hitler said to German people, I would like to be able to work for 4 years to make all what I want to do. Okay. Mm-hmm. And there was a referendum. And I learned 2 days ago a thing that I never read that before. I learned that even in concentration camps, people say yes at 60 or 70%. They say, okay, yes. It was an information. It's a new information, you know, mm-hmm. and I discovered that so 2 days ago, but I didn't look for that, but oh, in a document, I found that. And when you go in a library, when you go in archives, etc., every 14 minutes, you make a discovery, a new discovery, etc. So we have to work a lot, and we work a lot, and we find a lot of things, but after, it's very, very hard to publish all, or to write books, or because in France, for example, we have legal laws against us, etc., etc. But and we don't have a lot of money in France. I can't sell a book in a bookshop because it's forbidden. You know, it's because in Europe, it's very, very hard to make a good work. It's very, very hard to make a good propaganda. And I hope that one day we will have enough money to publish and to work efficiently, you know. That I wanted to say. In the United States, you don't have all the laws we have in Europe, but in Europe we have a lot of things to do, lot of things to do, and lot of things to discover. Okay.
Well, you do now. You know, your major income is from this magazine, if that's what you want, this publication that you put out and managed to continue to put out. You do some kind of legal thing so that you're not stopped from doing that. And it's called Sans Concession. Of course, it's in French, but people can subscribe to it, right? And so they can write to this address, to Marie at PERROU at GMX .fr, and ask you about getting a subscription to your. Can you send that magazine to other countries? Can you send it to the United States? Yeah.
Yes, we send it in already. We send it in USA, Canada,
Japan.
In Japan. There's no problem for us.
All right, great. So, I mean, I'd encourage people. In fact, I should get one myself. I never even thought about it. I should encourage people to get a subscription to that. And even though it's in French, I mean, there's always a lot of pictures and so on. And it's not hard to follow what's being said. And it would help you a lot. And people would get something for it anyway, for their money. So so that's another thing that people can do, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, go ahead.
Oh, you know, and now with all the technique, we would like to make more and more videos to explain to the young people all the things. And today it's very possible. 10 years before, it wasn't very in France. We couldn't do that because it was too expensive to do that. But now with YouTube, with video cameras, all the things you can have, it's very simple. And my, I would like, one day only make, short videos. When I say short is 30 minutes, because you can't say, if you want to explain something, you have to take 30 minutes or 35 or 40 minutes. But I think that it's a weapon of mass destruction. A video today, it's a weapon of mass destruction. And we have to use it. And to use it, it's, you don't need to have a studio, etc., etc. It's no use. You only have to, if you have a video camera and all the documents. And when I make a video, I show all the documents I have. The documents taken in archives, etc. And a lot of people in France say, well, it's very, very wonderful, because with your videos, we can see the documents. And it's the first time we can see all that sort of things. And after, when we show the videos to other person who don't agree with us, we can say, okay, but look, he shows all the documents. So he's not lying. He shows the documents. You can read it yourself if you want. You can read it after. You can put a picture, take a picture, and after read it, etc., etc. So a video is the first thing now we have to do.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Vincent, in the way that some of these videos you're doing now, and particularly certainly this one about the homosexual marriage and human rights and so on, is you show a lot of pages with underlining and yellow highlighting and so on, and as you're reading it, and you show it on the screen. And for some people who are used to just looking at pictures, you know, images all the time and being entertained by that as they're listening to the commentary being, you know, spoken, at first they might think, well, I don't want to look at the writing and so on. But, you know, what you're doing here is that for all these young people who don't want to read this stuff, and actually it is a lot, if they would have to go and get books and read them and find the parts in it and so on, you're allowing them to, in a sense, read what they need to read and feel like they've read it, and at this, without having to go through really getting the books and reading them.
Yes.
So it's very effective, and I really commend you for being brave enough to always do what you think is the most effective thing, and not what maybe is the most entertaining thing.
Yes, and I always say, but you don't have to trust me. I don't want you to trust me. I show you documents. It's one of my first message. Sometimes so somebody say, but I don't have to make confidence. No. Sorry, I don't have. Why would I have to believe you? And I said, but I don't want you to believe me. I show you documents, and after, if you don't want to read those documents with me, if you don't want to believe those documents, I can't do a thing for you. But I don't want you to believe. I am not God on earth. I am only a human, and perhaps I make mistakes. But you know, I show you the documents, or the person who are against me, they don't show you the documents. They only show you image and images, a lot of things, but no the documents. And with me, you have documents. It's a great difference.
Yes, yes. Okay. Well, that's true. And so why don't you continue with talking, what more you have to say about this latest video, and how you are pointing out that the human rights laws, which you know started in France in 1789 after with the French Revolution, fraternity, equality, and there's another one.
Fraternity, right. Fraternity, yes. Liberty, equality, fraternity.
Yes.
I don't think it's fraternity in English. It's brothership, perhaps?
Yes. Yeah, brotherhood. All right. Togetherness and so
on. Yes, brotherhood is that. Sorry.
Yeah, and you were pointing out in there about tolerance, I think, and or I've gotten that from somewhere, that, you know, we're being, this whole idea that we must tolerate everything is being pushed strongly. And so I think we were at the part where you were saying that that the human rights is the logical conclusion is that everybody has a right to do anything, pretty much, and that doesn't actually harm someone else. And so certainly if they want to men want to marry men and women want to marry women, that's perfectly all right. So where were you going to go from there? As far as...
I did not understand all what you said, but I think that is that with you have freedom with human rights, you have freedom, and you can do all what you want if it doesn't hurt another person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, yes, it's logical. You can't forbid homosexual marriage with that philosophy, and a man can marry a man, but tomorrow a man will be able to marry a rabbit or a chair. Why not? No, when you say sexuality is not to make a family, to make children. Sexuality is only to have pleasure. Well, I like having pleasure with a rabbit, or with a monkey, or with a table, with a chair. And I say that in 20 years in France, it will be possible to get married to marry a dog, a cat, because it's the great philosophy of human rights. You can do whatever you want in private.
Well, so, another thing, Vincent, that comes to my mind is that they make a big deal in all of these stories about it, that it's all about legality, that these people have the right to have the legal security or the legal, the legal rights that marriage conveys upon heterosexual couples. And it's not so much to so many of them actually say about a commitment, that it's all about them making a commitment to one another, but more about them having legal rights. And then, of course, when they get divorced, which they're going to do. Now, I know that, men and women get divorced a whole lot. But these people are going to probably be they've already gotten divorced, the ones that have just got married, and they're probably going to have a higher divorce rate, but they want that legal protection. And so we're going to have all this stuff in the law courts. It costs a lot of money too. But then again, they can say, as you're saying, well, I want legal rights for my dog or my cat or my pet or something that I have, just love so much. And so I want to be able to have marriage, marry this thing, this animal, so that the legal rights will be assured, or things like that. I mean, what would have been unheard of 50 years ago is happening today. So what is unheard of to us today can be happening 50 years from now. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it's true. Mm-hmm. I said that... for in France, in 1964, homosexuality in law, homosexuality was called a disease. No, so in 1964, and so 40 years after, it's no more a disease, and
it's a choice.
It's a choice. and it's a protected choice. You can't say it's bad. It's homophobia. If you say, oh, I don't like homosexuals, it's homophobia, and you can be sentenced even to prison if you say that. So in 40 years, the situation, now the situation is very, it's completely different. So we can say what will it be in 40 years. I'm sure that in 40 years, we will have a lot of other things, awful. Say, it will be able to marry a dog, a cat. In France, a person say, when you have jumped the wall, you have no wall anymore, you know? If you trespass, after there is nothing to stop you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand or no?
Yes, yes, perfectly.
If you say, you can't forbid one thing, and you say, okay, so, but you can't forbid everything. You know, you had, I think it's 15 years ago in England, you have a very, very good things, a very good affair in justice. It was persons called, you know, there was sadistic person and masochist person, you know? You understand?
Yes.
Sadistics and masochists. And yes. The sadistic used to torture the masochists. And
right.
They take film about that.
They took
videos about that.
Oh, yes.
Videos of all the tortures. And somebody took the video and gave them to the police. And the sadistic person, where they were put on trial, because they tortured masochist persons. But at the trial, during the trial, masochist person say, well, but we like that. So you can't forbid that. And for the judges, it was very, very difficult because in England you had a law. You can't torture a person. But you had human rights who say, well, if I like it, I want to be tortured. So what's wrong? It was in private. It was in cellars. And we were consentent. We wanted to. So it's my life. It's my life anyway. And it's my right to be tortured if I want. And for the first time, sadistic person, when they were sentenced, but they didn't go in prison. They didn't have to pay a lot of things. And, you know, I think that it was the only affair like that I know. I don't think there is a new affair like that. But I'm sure that if today a new affair like that come up in England, and the sadistic person won't have anything to pay, or they won't be sentenced, because
two consenting adults, that's the whole thing about consenting adults, can do whatever they want.
Exactly. In human rights, your freedom stop where freedom of the other person begin. But if another person want me to torture her, to torture him, well, so I don't hurt his freedom or her freedom. It's the contrary. I give pleasure to this person. So, to these people. So, I won't be sentenced. You have to be logical. And today, we are not enough logical with human rights. You have laws say, you have laws saying, you can torture a person. But why not? If she wants, if this man or this woman wants to, why not? It's private life. And you can do all what you want in private because we have human rights and there's no natural order. There's no God's order. So I can do whatever I want if another person is consentant. It's logical.
Yes, in law enforcement, somebody has to file a complaint. You know, if someone calls the police here in the United States and because they're complaining that their husband is is out of control or something, and there's this domestic disturbance. And then this is just a mild case, but then if the police come and they're there and they ask questions, then if the wife changes her mind and says, well, it's okay, she has to file charges against her husband. And if she refuses to do that, then the police can't do anything. So it's not like there's a law that says people can't do this or that. Someone has to be a complainant. I guess unless it's murder, then that's the only thing that's different. I'm not sure about that. But, it's kind of like that. So someone has to be upset about it. And if nobody's upset about it, then there's no problem.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Oh, yes, of course. It's the philosophy of human rights. So if we will continue with this philosophy.
Okay, let me bring up one thing that has also been said a lot about this homosexual marriage laws is and why people like Hollande want to do it and people like Barack Obama, although I think he's homosexual himself. But it says in this one article that if this law gets passed in France, it will boost Hollande's credentials as an agent of social change. And this is what all these leaders want now. They want to go down. They want something outstanding, something that they have done to make a big difference in society. Then they're in the history books, as being important and connected with that forever. So it's all about their own personality and their personal ambitions as much as anything else, that they want to find something that they can attach themselves to. And social change is a big one because if you can change society forever, that's attributed to you playing a big part in that. That really, makes you an important historical person. And they also add here that for Hollande, that this, he would then be in the tradition of the late socialist president François Mitterrand, who not only appointed France's first female prime minister, but he also got the death penalty outlawed. So that all is big, that's why he's so well known. I don't know if you followed all that, but I imagine Marie did.
Yes, I think that you're right. Mr. Hollande perhaps wants to stay in historical books.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm sure it's a reason. But French people agree with him.
That's right.
In the majority, people want legalize homosexual marriage. So at the end, it's always people's fault. I don't think that. For example, there is a conspiration. No. At the end, it's always people's fault, and all the French people who vote for Mr. Hollande, they knew that he would allow homosexual marriage. So it's people's fault.
Yes, but remember, the people are also being heavily propagandized. It is our fault. And I do think that we have to, you know, if our people don't start waking up and standing up against this stuff, but they really take the easy way. They love entertainment. They like all the high sex stuff that they see all around them and so on. But the propaganda has been going on, as you say, since 1789 and before, but, you know, as far as, pushing the tolerance of, everybody doing whatever they feel like, freedom, equality, you know, liberty, equality, fraternity. Yes.
Yes. You know, people are heavily propagandized, but the propaganda can't make people think a way they don't want to think. I studied the adverts, you know.
Yes. The advertisements, yes.
Yeah, advertisements. And there is the first law of advertisement is this one. If people doesn't want a product, even if you make a very, very good advert and large advert, it won't work because people don't want this product. And in France, we have some examples. The best example is a political example. For example, it's a European Constitution. French people didn't want European Constitution, and it was seven years ago, I think, a very, very large propaganda was organized by the state, French state. You have to say yes to the European constitution. And during weeks and weeks, we had this propaganda. But people say no, 51% only. But people say no. Even with a very, very large state propaganda, it was impossible to have more than 50%. So, you know, mm-hmm. propaganda and advertising, etc., can't make people thinking another way they want to think. It's my opinion, but I think I'm true. So it's because I always say, at the end, it's always people's fault.
Yes, well, but what then has happened to people? Let's just take the French people. From what you said in 1964, when homosexuality was considered a disease, and now it's considered just a choice that people are free to make. So what has happened? I mean, people have changed.
It's what has happened, or I think it's very simple. Since perhaps 40 years or even 70 years, very, very few people in France believe in a natural order. So, France had ancient, old laws, but it was finished, in fact. In the society, laws, that sort of laws were out of date. And, in 1964, homosexuality was called a disease by the law, but French people didn't think anymore it was a disease. They always say, well, we can't judge, it's complex, etc., etc. And after, it was logical. When you say in 1968 there was a big revolution, sexual revolution, and people say, okay, sexuality is not for make children. sexuality if to have pleasure. So logical. Well, if I want to have sex with another man, why not? It's not a disease, you know. Okay. So I think it was logical. It was a intellectual thinking. Way of thinking. It was a way of thinking, and it was logical. Sure, you have a propaganda, but propaganda, in my opinion, is not the principal reason of changing in society.
Well, okay, and it is. What is it? What is the principal reason for change? Now you probably said it, but can you put it in a
I think that the principal reason is the logic of the ideas, you know?
Oh, okay, yeah.
How is
the All right, logic. You know, okay, we have 60 seconds to our 5-minute break, so but just continue with what you were saying.
Oh, an idea has its logic. And the logic is in your mind, and after one year, 2 years, this logic will make you change whatever you want. I'm sure of that.
Okay, so that's your main proposition. Well, that's very good to get that clear. Because I know you were emphasizing, of course, you see, I can't understand the French, so I'm not real as clear as possible on your video, but I knew it was about the logic, because it's in your title. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to a 5-minute musical interlude. Stay with us. We'll be back after that and continue with this great discussion. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carolyn Yeager on Saturday Afternoon with Carolyn at the White Network, and we are now entering our second hour. I've been speaking here with the most interesting Vincent Renoir from France and his lovely partner Marie, who is assisting him, and it always assists him and is so good at that. Maybe we'll hear a little more from Marie in this second hour, but we're going to be kind of tight in this next hour because there's a lot. After we finish with the discussion about homosexual marriage, which I hope there's still more to say about that, because it's so interesting. But I also wanted to ask Vincent about some characters that are in the news right now that he knows, such as Dr. Robert Faurisson and Richard Williamson and Fred Tobin and some other things. So we want to do that before the show is over, but we do have a call-in number. I probably will only take one phone call because I don't know if I can take more than one at this point. We're still a little hesitant about not having our program crash from the calls. So, but the number is 1-877-443-4911. So be sure that you have a good question for Vincent Renoir if you call, not just intending to just chat idly chat for a while. I thank you for considering that. Now, and you can also send an email. I checked my email. I didn't have any questions there. Now, Vincent, welcome back. And you were saying we were kind of at the point, a very interesting point, about the fact that you say that it's all because of the logical conclusion of ideas which are accepted, and in this case it's the idea of human rights. And you did bring up that human rights does not include the natural order, the rights of the natural order or based on natural order or God's order or God's laws or anything like that or natural laws. So maybe you could say a little more about that. Is that where we kind of interrupted you?
Well, it will be a little difficult for me because I don't speak English very well, but if you... There is one thing is evident. If you read the human rights, it's no question about a natural order. I'll always say that in all the articles, and I don't speak about the French Revolution in 1789, but I speak about international human rights declarations of the United States in the 10th of December 1948. Please.
The United Nations, right?
Yes, the United Nations. Yeah. Yeah. So it's the 10th of December 1948.
Okay.
Please, I say to all the listeners, please read them, and you will see that there's nothing about a natural order. Or, for example, if you want to fight for the traditional view of the family, a man, a woman, and children, if you want to fight for that against the new families with two men, two women, etc., etc., you have to mention a natural order. And I make a little research in France in books about morale, moral books.
Mm-hmm. Morality. Books about morality. Okay.
Yes. Well, today you don't have in the school books of morality. It's out of date. But 60 years ago or 1 century ago, you have books. You had, you had books about morality for teachers in classrooms. And it was not in France, it was not religious morality, because in France, since 1880, French schools are laical, you know? Laical, is that we say in English?
They're what?
School, they are not religious schools.
Oh, yes, yes.
It's neutral.
Yes, secular.
Mm-hmm. Yes, secular schools. So, mm-hmm. you know, in France, since 1890, you have secular schools. And I make a little research in about books of morality in those schools. And they don't speak about homosexual marriage, because it was 1 century ago. But when they speak, when the authors speak about family, about marriage, about all the sort of things, they always speak about a natural order, or sometimes even about a God's order. And if you want to fight, so for traditional family, you can only speak, you can only invoke a natural order. For example, a person I read a man who say, well, you can't speak about homosexual marriage because they can't make children. And when you marry someone, you have to make children because you must have children for you to continue after your death. It's what the author say. But why must you have a child for you to continue after your death? If you don't want to continue after your death, it's your life anyway, it's your opinion. So, you know, if you even when a author want to fight for natural family, for traditional family, he has to invoke a national order. And today people can't hear this speech about a natural order because it would mean that God exists, and people refuse God today. So it's only logical you have homosexual marriage. Because if today a lot of person don't believe in God, or I don't care about that. So you can't invoke a natural order. They will say to you, but there's no natural order. Ah, yes, you say that there is a natural order because you believe in God. But I don't believe in God. Or even perhaps God exists, but I don't mind. God is a choice. You choose to believe in God, but me, I choose not to believe in God. So when you choose, when you speak about of a natural order, me, I don't want to speak about of that. So when you say a family must be a traditional family with a man, a woman, children, etc., why? Me, I don't care about that. A family, it's two persons in love. Perhaps two men in love, two women in love, or I don't know, but so.
Yeah, well, Vincent, I'm just really admiring the logical way your mind works, and I've come to appreciate that more and more, but now never more than now. And that is supposed to be one of the characteristics of the French, and you are certainly, 100% French. Because the way you're presenting this, yes, is that people today who don't like religion, but let's say traditionalist people who don't like homosexuality, don't like homosexual marriage, but at the same time, they don't like religion. They don't want to talk about God. They don't want to base anything on that. Therefore, they end up forced, many, many, many of them, to say, well, it really is not all that important to me what homosexuals do. And then they'll add in their own bedroom and, in their own privacy and so on. But they're never in their own privacy. They're not in their own bedroom. They're out in public doing all kinds of things and of course, changing laws and changing marriage laws. And not only that, I'll just throw in right here while I have the opportunity here that there is one story that I want to talk about, and that is that in France, along with this, it says that France is when they pass this law, or they pass something by the end of October, it says they're going to have, which is the month we're in now, that they're banning the terms mother and father in all legal terminology because it doesn't fit with the kind of marriage that's allowed, and they're going to change things to. Things like, I imagine you know about this, the partners and so on, it's not even going to be allowed to use the words mother and father in schools and so on, and on legal documents. Do you know that? Did you know that?
In the United States?
In France. It says this is Paris, September 27th. 2010,
yes.
There's some jurisdictions that have adopted gay marriage, I guess, and they're changing the language. And now the whole country is eventually, maybe this isn't written quite as well as it should be, but what I got from it was that it was going to become illegal to use the term mother and father. That you can use the term parents, and then it would be, that's as far as you can go as to the old terminology.
There are a lot of problems now in school because you have a lot of children who hardly have one mother or one father or two mothers or two fathers, etc. So they try to avoid speaking about mother and father. Yes, I know that they speak about parents, and for example, when we have how you say that in English, mother feast, no, la fête des mères. When Mother's Day, perhaps.
Yes, Mother's Day.
When you in schools now, when you have Mother's Day, they don't ask. Children to make a little gift because they say, well, a lot of children don't have a mother or they have only two fathers. So I read a lot of testimonies about teachers in public schools, and they say, well, when it's Mother's Day, Mother's Day or Father's Day, I don't do a thing because it's delicate now, So it's a way that you can see that society is changing, is moving. There is a new society is beginning today without mother. And in United States, when we see in France, we have on television. I don't have television, but I used to read it. In when I was in prison, in jail, or somewhere else, and when we see American soaps, you know,
mm-hmm.
you always see children. They don't say papa or mama or father or mother. They call their parents with their first names. You know.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange.
That started, gee, I had a friend, one couple, when I was in my 20s, and so were they, of course, and they had their first child, and they thought it was so cute that their daughter, who they thought was a little genius, called her father by his first name, and they encouraged that, and, it wouldn't be something I would have ever done. But they were already starting that. And in that case, talking about the sexual revolution, which really interests me, and you said you dated it at 1968. That's probably, it was moving along before that. But, how important do you make that for what's happening now? And do you think that there really was something that we can call the sexual revolution that really did revolutionize our whole society, our entire societies.
You want me to say to you if we can stop sexual revolution? I didn't understand.
Well, what are your thoughts about the sexual revolution and just how powerful it has been? Because I don't know how we could stop it, but
you want me to know what I think about sexual revolution? Is that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think that it's a logical thing because there's no more order, natural order in our societies, you know. I don't want to fight against that. Because it's not the first reason of sexual revolution is only a consequence of human rights philosophy. So you know, I don't want to fight against sexual revolution. I don't want to spend hours to describe sexual revolution. I only want people know that sexual revolution is only a consequence of human rights philosophy. Human rights philosophy is only you have to be yourself. You can construct your life whatever you want. You can do whatever you want if you don't hurt your neighbor, etc. But so with that philosophy, it's only mm-hmm. normal. You have sexual revolution. I don't think it's a good thing. I would prefer. Not see a sexual revolution. I would prefer. I would like to fight for a traditional family, you know. But it's the same thing that aborting. No, you know what you say in English.
Abortion
is the same thing that. That abortion, it's a logical consequence of human rights philosophy. So if you want to fight against homosexual marriage, or if you want to fight against abortion, etc., you have in first to fight against human rights philosophy. But the only one person in the modern Europe, who manage to make a society without human rights philosophy is Adolf Hitler. So, if you want to fight against human rights philosophy, you have to say that Hitler was right. And if you don't say that, you won't be able to fight. It would be no use to fight.
Can you give an example of main example that you would use for how why you say that Adolf Hitler fought against human rights philosophy?
It's very simple. Mm-hmm. If you read Mein Kampf, you have a lot of examples. I gave some of them in my site, but I can give you two examples. For example, first, he says that le bien commun est devant le bien particulier. The common good is better than the individual good, you know?
Okay, yes, the common good comes before the individual good.
Yes, and he says that, for example, if you want to marry somebody, it's for your race, your nation, your country, and to make children. He said, Adolf Hitler says that in Mein Kampf. So with him, there was no way for homosexual marriage.
Yeah.
You have two examples now, but we have a lot of examples. Adolf Hitler managed to make a modern society without human rights philosophy. And it's the only person. I don't speak about Franco, about Salazar. No. It was paternalism, but it was not Adolf Hitler was a real revolutionary because he was a counter-revolutionary. It was the only counter-revolutionary in Europe. And it's because today, Big Brother is always, continues to fight Adolf Hitler, even if Adolf Hitler is dead since 1945, and even if the Third Reich is crashed since 1945, because Big Brother knows that his only real enemy was National Socialism. So, if you want to fight against abortion, a fight against homosexual marriage, etc., etc., you have to be National Socialist. If you are not, it's no use, and you won't manage to succeed. Yes.
Okay. What about that's really really interesting. What about those who want to focus on the economic issues about Hitler or about social advancement or this helping the people or whatever it might be? Who see all this, want to see it more in economic terms, and it seems to me that you're seeing it as more in cultural terms, which I am tending to do myself, you know, understanding that the cultural issues are more important than the economic issues, even though the economics seem to be affecting us so much. What would you say to that?
About National Socialism?
Well, no. Well, that and you know how we should proceed to.
But you know, National Socialism or not, I think that economical things comes in second, because
Okay.
Economic is only the son of culture. If you have a certain sort of culture, you will have a sort of economy. It's because I am not interested in economics things. Economic, we say in France, l'économie dérive de la culture. So, I don't know how to say that in English, but I want to say that in first you have culture, and after economic things come. But the first is culture. If I think that, for example, common good come before individual goods, I won't agree with liberal systems, with a consumption society, you know. I won't agree with that, because when you have a liberal system, it's for individual, but we can't have that. Economy stem from culture, that I wanted to say a few minutes ago. Economy stem from culture. So, I don't, you know, Hitler said, it was in February, 1936. He said to a French journalist, in economy, I have one doctrine. You said doctrine?
Yes, doctrine, yes.
Doctrine. Well, Hitler said to a French journalist, in economy, I have one doctrine. My doctrine is, I have no doctrine in economy. Hitler doesn't mind about economy. Didn't mind, sorry, about economy. He was aware of culture, but not economy. He didn't have any doctrine in economy. He took a financial professional, like Aljamar, Sash, etc., but he didn't mind about economy. Well?
Okay. All right. Very good. Did you want to say anything more about this subject, or can we go on to a couple others?
Perhaps Marie wants to say something.
Dear,
what? No, but Marie doesn't want to say something. I have nothing to say more.
If you have a question, maybe, but I don't know what to say.
Well, okay. Didn't want to break away before. But let me I'll just give this list I have here of the countries that are in which homosexual marriage is already legal, and many, many of them are in Europe. And I guess I was kind of surprised that it hadn't become legal in France yet. But I did learn today that France is a majority Roman Catholic still, which I didn't exactly know that either. So that's part of the reason. But it's not holding anything back. But these countries are the Netherlands, Belgium, Spain. And one thing interesting about Spain is that the very first recorded gay marriage took place there way back in 1901, but that's because this couple of women, one of them dressed up like a man, and they put something over on him. But once the truth came out, they lost their jobs, they were excommunicated, and they had to flee the country to escape arrest. But the marriage was never annulled, so it still stands in the record as the first gay marriage in Spain's history or something like that. Anyway, also Canada is on that list. South Africa, of course, because all discrimination in South Africa is illegal. after the new anti-apartheid thing succeeded. And so, but elsewhere in Africa, that's not the case at all. But then we go up to Scandinavia, Norway, and Sweden. And 71% of the population of Sweden was in favor of same-sex marriage when it occurred 2008. And even the Lutheran Church of Sweden announced its full support of gay marriage. And then we include Portugal, which is also largely Catholic and traditional. But even so, the people went from 2009 in support of gay marriage only at 40%. In 1 year later, it passed because the new prime minister wanted it to, and he was telling stories about his childhood, and he had this friend who was gay and so on. And there was a movie that came out that was very influential. So in 1 year, the country it went from 40% to over 50%, and it was passed. And Iceland has also passed it. Just think, way up there. And Argentina, and in Mexico, it's in Mexico City, where only there in that Mexico City district can homosexual marriages be performed. But if they are performed, then these people have to be, these marriages are honored throughout the country, but individual states have to decide whether they want to. So far, none of them have. But in Quintana Roo, which is the beach, has the beach hotspot of Cancun. See, they are getting close to doing it because it brings a lot of people to come there and get married. Homosexuals come there at Cancun and get married because they like that kind of atmosphere. So, you know, a lot of this becomes if people can make money off of it or not. And, you know, as you say, because the whole natural order and God thing is thrown out, then nothing is holding any of it back. So at this point, I'd like to ask you, and I want to tell the listeners, it's after we have less than a half hour to go in the program. And so now, you know, I do apologize for giving out, having a phone number, then telling people not to use it. So if anybody really wants to call and talk to Vincent Renoir in the last half hour, you are invited to do so. Again, our number is 1-877-443-4911. We'll see if anybody wants to take advantage of that, Vincent. And in the meantime, of course, there is news from Dr. Robert Faurisson, a fellow Frenchman who is recovering now from heart surgery. And I wondered, imagine some people might want to know if you have anything that you'd like to say about that, or are you in contact with him, or how much...
Okay. I am in contact with him, but since he had a heart attack,
mm-hmm.
a heart attack, I am no more in contact with him. So I can't say a thing. I can't say a thing about that. I'm sure that now. He wrote five public emails today. So I'm sure that he's right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that he's right. I know that he would like to take a rest. He would have to take a rest, a long rest. But I'm sure that he won't take a long rest because he has a lot of things to do. He's always overbooked. So, but I am confident that there will have no problem. He will recover very soon. And well, I am very, very confident.
Good. I would just like to ask you, you know, he is an ally of yours in revisionism in France. How many are there? I mean, do you have much of an, is there much of an alliance there of in France of people doing the kind of work you are doing and Dr. Faurisson is doing? Is there just a few or what could you tell us about that?
You want, You want to know how much people fight publicly for revisionism in France?
Yes.
Yeah, well, very, very few persons. I think there is Dr. Frorison. There is Jean Plantin, but he published his books. And well,
are there some who work and are very helpful but don't want their names to be mentioned, or is there anything like that?
Yes, and you have Paul-Éric Blanrue, naturally. You have Paul-Éric Blanrue, Robert Frorison, Jean Plantin, and me. But, you know, a lot of, you have very, very few people doing researches, you know. Very, very few.
Yeah. Well, it's too bad. That we don't have more, so that's why you're so busy. And people should recognize that. And let me mention once again that PayPal email address to use if you do have PayPal and can donate to Vincent and Marie. It's Marie, M-A-R-I-E dot P-E-R-E-R-O-U at G-M-X dot F-R. And then I will also publish a snail mail address in Switzerland that people can send letters and cash and money orders to, if they send the right kind of money order, I guess. But I'll publish that information. And then the other thing I don't want to forget is, I'll go on to the next person. Bishop Richard Williamson has now been... they say excluded from his Society of St. Pius X. And you being a Roman Catholic also, I wondered if you had any comment about that.
About Bishop Williamson.
Yes.
You know, it's logical he's sacked from society, traditional society St. Pius, you know, St. Pius. I don't know how you say that in America, but it's only normal because Mr. Bishop Feley is not a courageous man, and is against revisionism. I don't know. Perhaps he believes in gas chambers, in Holocaust. Perhaps he doesn't, but publicly he makes things as he believes in gas chambers. You know, you understand me what I wanted to say?
Yeah, he says publicly, he won't question it publicly.
Yes, but he acts as he was a believer of gas chambers, you know?
Yes.
He always act like that. And so...
Well, I would imagine that you are a traditional Catholic.
No more. I used to be traditional, but I used to be a sede vacantist, because in my mind you have only two positions possible. The first position is you obey to the Pope, or if you disobey the Pope, you have to say that the Pope is not a Pope. So you have to be a sede vacantist, as we say in France. You don't recognize Benoît XVI as a Pope. But I know that Mr. Feley, Bishop Feley, and all his followers, they disobey to the Pope, but they say at the same time that Benoît XVI is a real Pope. And I can't follow that way. in the first time, during 6 years, I've been sede vacantiste, and now I am no more, now I'm far from all these questions about Bishop Williamson, etc.
So you're just not following the religion. You're just kind of fallen away from it. Is that it?
I am a Roman Catholic for now. I go in the legal mass every Sunday. I go to the church in my quarter. You know, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yes. In your neighborhood.
Yes, I go to the church in the neighborhood, and I don't want to speak anymore about traditionalism. For 10 years I have been a traditionalist, and now I don't want to be anymore. I don't think it's the right way. There are a lot of problems, certainly in the church, but I don't agree anymore with traditionalism. But I like Mr. Williamson, Bishop Williamson, and I send to him my my magazine. So I have nothing against Bishop Williamson, and if he wants me to help him, I will say yes. But I can't say more about that because now I'm no more traditionalist, you know.
Yes. Okay. You know, I've got some. I've got some questions, but this first by it's kind of long. Let me go back to the last one and see if it's shorter. Okay, it is. This is from Stephen. This is from ATN. Sorry. He's a big fan of yours too, ATN. Although he's in the UK, he lives in the UK. And he says, what intellectual influences originally led you, Vincent, to reject the ideology of 1789? Well, there he's going back to 1789 like I was. He says, is there a Catholic Church influence or something else? Well, I think you may have answered that. If you have answered it, just say that you have. Then he's asking about Professor Forson. And you answered that, but he wanted to know if you are related to the circle of Professor Forison, if you know what that means. Let's take that first. What he means is, are you involved in Professor Forison's circle? I mean, are you actually, you know, like in touch? Are you two in touch and you work together, or you work pretty much separately?
Okay. I am in touch with Professor Forison, but we don't work together. I work freely and he works freely. Sometimes he send me articles and I publish them, but you know, we don't have a plan. We don't have a plan. We don't have we support each other. But we don't have a plan saying, well, you do this work, I do this work. No, there's nothing like that. We work freely. Okay. We are independent, but we support each other and we are in touch regularly.
Okay. And then of course he wanted to know, what led to your break with the ideas of, the human rights ideas? I think you made that pretty clear. So I don't think I'm going to ask you to go over that again. Now there's another, question here from Hadding, and I'm trying to just get to the, if I can just move to the, he's talking about the American Declaration of Independence, and those who approved the statement, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." And he wants to know, he says he thinks that that is an error. He says the American people would have been ashamed to say that this document, the Declaration of Independence, was in error, because it starts out with all men are created equal. Well, I don't see a question here. I just see a comment. They could claim that Thomas Jefferson did not mean exactly what he said, but this was a very difficult argument, and so the equal rights agitators prevailed. And so the United States is based on this idea of equal rights. Well, do you have any comment about that?
Well, I'm not sure I understood, but you know, I am against rights of man philosophy, but perhaps a listener will think it's paradoxal. I am not against all the right of man. You know, for example, if you say you can't be jailed without having a trial, I say it's true and it's good. If you say, for example, you must have freedom of speech, I say yes, it's true and it's good. You have a lot of articles in the Declaration of Human Rights. A lot of articles, which I think they are very good, and we must fight for this right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we have only to keep all the rights than we can have if we believe in a natural order. So all these liberties, which can be possible in a natural order, we have to keep them. But all the others, we don't have to keep them.
It's would you say, yeah, would you say that for those who don't want to believe in the laws of God, that they could believe in the law of the natural order via so many of, let's say the, I don't know what to call them, the teachings, the so much of what Adolf Hitler represented and used in the Third Reich, and the way the Third Reich was run, where the religious believers and the non-religious believers all could work together for the same things. Would you say that would be a way that we could solve some of this dilemma of the anti-religionists, let's say?
Well, I think that no believers can work with believers on some subjects, you know, because you can believe to a national order even if you don't believe in God. I think it's possible, but I think it's hard too, because if you believe in an order without believing in a creator, I think it will be hard on the long term to keep this order on your mind, on the minds of the other people. Did you understand what I wanted
yes,
to say?
Yes, yeah, very good answer. You always are very sharp, I must say, and you think of things differently than I would have. So that's good. It probably would be. But like you say, it's possible.
Yes, I think it's possible. I think. But, yes, at the beginning, I think it's possible, and perhaps on the long term, but I'm not sure. I'm not very sure. You know, for example, if you take the Third Reich, you have all sorts of persons in the National Socialist Party. What could happen if Hitler won the World War II on the long term? What could happen in Germany on the long term? We don't know. And we will never know now, because it's finished. But I'm sure that after 10 years or 20 years, some problems would come, you know, because there were two different people in National Socialist Party.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And they're squabbling today, those who follow one side and those who follow another. And that's where a lot of that economic squabbling comes in, but I don't want to get back into that. All right, let's move on to Frederick Tobin and his bankruptcy, because Frederick Tobin is also a National Socialist. So he has that in common, that he is in Australia. I know you know him, and you may not have. I don't know if you've ever met him or not, but, you know, he's undergoing a lot of difficulty and has been for quite a while now.
Yes, I know Fred Tobin. I met him two or three times.
Okay.
And yes, I see that 5 or 6 years ago he went to sleep in my house. But perhaps you will be surprised. He didn't write to me since a very long time. And I don't know exactly what's matter with him. I know that I know about his bankruptcy, but I don't know him more about that. So I won't speak about that, because I can't. I have no details. He didn't send me a thing. He wanted me to go in a large organization against Zionism. I say, well, why not? But since, I didn't hear a thing about him.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's these Jewish organizations, certain Jews who lead the organizations in Australia have been after him in the courts ever since they got, you know, his newsletter, Adelaide, whatever the Adelaide newsletter, that he used to own, but he turned it over to another man, and really, he doesn't own it anymore. But, you know, they got him in court for hate laws and saying things, you know, against the Jews and so on. And so then, you know, they've just been after him and after him in the courts, and he's had to pay fines, and now they've managed to supposedly bankrupt him, although he's still trying to come up with some kind of an appeal. But I just thought I'd bring him up because, you know, in case people would want to know if you knew anything about it or if you had anything to say about it, which you did. So now the last we can just mention that David Irving, I don't know if you're aware, this just happened. He won a fight just yesterday, to overturn an entry ban into Germany. You know, they wouldn't let him come back into Germany after he was convicted of and fined for insulting the Jews, the memory of the dead, and so on, by saying disputing the gas chambers at Auschwitz. Well, that was appealed for a while, and now this administrative tribunal has rejected this conviction and ruled that this ban could not be upheld under European Union rules of free movement. So I thought that was interesting, because they can't keep him from moving around Europe because he's, you know, English and under European Union rules. So that worked against them sort of in that case.
Well, you know, for personally, I will never go now in Germany, you know, because they can have order of arrest against you, and when you are in Berlin, for example, suddenly up, you are on arrest, and I don't want to go to Germany, and I would be afraid to have to go in Germany because they can arrest you whenever they want. Huh? It's a real danger to go to Germany. It's too dangerous for me and for all revisionists. I think, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we only have a couple minutes left, unfortunately, Vincent. And so what about your own legal situation? Is there any update you can give us on that real quick?
I will have a new trial on the 6th of November. And I am in probation. But I am two times now in probation for two affairs, and my life is very, 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 very difficult now. I can't go abroad. I can't give. It's very, very hard for me now.
Yes. All right. Well, that's why we want to encourage people to give you all the help that they can, and so I will put all this information on the program page. And, you know, Vincent and Marie, I want to thank you so much for this program today. It's been, I think, an exceptional program, and I want to have you back very soon.
Thank you very much, and thank you to all the listeners, and to see you next time.
All right, and bye, Marie.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Bye. See you next week, listeners.
Thanks for listening. And be sure to visit Carolyn's website at carolynyager.com.